I got to click on the little man here, John, so he's going to get a hold of our program. You can instant message us, AOL, instant message, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, or you can call the program. We'll be glad to take your calls. If you call now, a secretary will probably answer. If you wait a half hour, you have to hit the extension. But you want 850, which is Pensacola, Florida, 479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or 877-479-3466, and then go to extension 136 if nobody answers. We got one line coming into the program, well, one line going out and one line coming in, but we'll be glad to answer your questions on the subject of creation versus evolution. In 30 minutes, my good friend, Dr. Don Boyce, is going to be calling in to be a guest on the program here. Jonathan, have you ever met Dr. Boyce?
I have not met him, although from what I hear, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy.
He is. He was a member of the Indiana House of Representatives, a tremendous speaker, lives up near Chattanooga. I've known him for years, and just absolutely doesn't pull any punches. He's my kind of guy. If you read through his book, I've got his book in my hand here, which we sell in our ministry, Evolution, Fact, Fraud, or Faith.
Which is one of the specials that we're going to have in the July specials coming up. This is Customer Appreciation Month. It's like the F month or something like that. So a lot of F products are going to be set.
Fact, emphasized. Fraud, Faith, right?
Yeah, that's
fossils.
What is that, alliteration right there?
Alliteration, correct.
Yeah.
So go on our website, Jonathan. How much does this book normally sell for?
An arm and a leg. But that's normally elsewhere. We have pretty good prices, so let me go ahead and check it out.
Evolution, Fact, Fraud, or Faith. Don Boyce will be calling in. Travels and speaks on creation and does seminars on marriage in the home. Got a great marriage ministry also. And lives up in Ringgold, Georgia, right near Chattanooga, Tennessee. Anyway, he'll be on just in about 30 minutes. So, Dr. Boyce, if you're listening, we're looking forward to you calling in. So if you're an atheist calling in, we will cut you off and let him come in at that time.
In good Christian love, of course.
Pardon me?
In good Christian love, we'll
in
cut
Christian
the atheist
love.
Off.
Yes. Yeah. Right, we do everything in Christian love. Okay. We were reading some interesting articles, and if you want to call in on the program, join us, and you can interrupt us here, but I got all kinds of stuff I want to cover. I have an article in my hand about Saturn from New Scientist, July 10th, 2004. Last summer, they said, the Cassini space probe, the first craft sent to orbit Saturn's rings, has revealed previously unknown features of the Saturn system. New Scientist reports that photographs of the rings show a host of ringlets with unexpected sharp edges. A mystery, as collisions over billions of years between the particles should smooth out the edges. So why do they have such crisp, sharp rings, do you suspect, Jonathan?
It must be them Baptists out there trying to make the evolutionists look bad.
The Baptists went up there and smoothed it out so that the rings would not, you know, would appear to be young.
Yeah.
When actually we all know, of course, they're billions of years old.
Yep. Actually, I just looked up Evolution, Fact, Fraud, or Faith by Dr. Don Boyce on drdino.com, and it is $14.
$14. I'm holding the book in my hand, and it is 350 pages. Of amazing stuff on the subject of creation and evolution. And the special coming up in a couple days, July 1st, during the month of July, you can get the book, I forget how much, 20% off of that even, or something, whatever it is.
Let's figure that out. That's 0.04 cents a page.
Who would care about something like that?
I mean, who can beat a deal like that?
That's true. Yep, that's a bargain. Anyway, and I like he's like me. I mean, he'll just say, that's stupid, you know. He doesn't try to be politically correct.
Well, you've got a couple, actually, video series, Why Evolution is Stupid, 100 More Reasons Why Evolution is Stupid. You actually spoke at the Northwest Creation, or at Compass International, on Why Evolution is Stupid, 100 Reasons.
Well, so. They asked me to speak on that topic, and when the host of the program, Compass International, said, hey, I want you to speak on why evolution is stupid. I said, well, first, it'll be easy to do because evolution is stupid for lots of reasons. I said, however, my mommy, you know, taught me you don't say that. You know, you try to be a little more politically correct when you speak, you know. Why evolution is not a logical, rational, well-thought-out idea, you know, instead of just calling it stupid. But I guess I've got I guess they've got a Elijah personality, you know, that wants to just mock them a little bit. Sweetly, of course, in Christian love.
Well, I used to have a Nehemiah personality that just wanted to sit at the front gates and lay hands on everybody. But I'm working on that.
Okay, good. Here's an interesting article from Science Magazine of April 2004, where they said, monogamy is highly effective against AIDS. Duh, they figured it out, Jonathan. You got to listen to this. HIV prevalence in Uganda has plummeted by 70% since the early 90s. Why? A research article in Science Journal pointed to the effectiveness of the government's National AIDS Awareness and Prevention Campaign. The government communicated a clear warning and recommendation. AIDS, locally known as SLIM, because sufferers waste away, was fatal and required the population to immediately practice zero grazing. That is monogamy. Stay faithful to your wife, okay? In a nation where 91% of men and 86% of women knew someone with AIDS or who had died of AIDS, people radically changed their behavior. By the mid-1990s, there was a 60% reduction in persons reporting casual sexual partners and a dramatic increase in the proportion of unmarried 15 to 24-year-olds practicing total abstinence. 78% of males and 84% of females reported total abstinence in that age group. The researchers noted that mechanical barriers are used just as much in neighboring countries as in Uganda, so the fact that Uganda stands alone in the region with such a decline in HIV incidence shows that it is the change in sexual behavior that has had this dramatic result. In fact, the researchers say it is similar to the impact of a vaccine of 80% effectiveness. Well, you know, God, a long time ago, set down the rules, and we've got all these idiots in Hollywood and other places who think that God's rules are somehow trying to stifle us. You know, God's rules are, it's for your good. He wants the best, you know.
It blows my mind. I mean, even in, and this is completely relevant to why many kids probably lose their faith in college, many colleges have these, like, sexual awareness programs where they teach you how to explore your partner's body and do just really getting into stuff that, I mean, is completely condemned in Scripture. I mean, it's like professional fornication.
Yeah.
I mean, they teach this from, what is it, that the sexual education class is like fifth grade and up now or something like that. There was a newspaper article that I was reading just last week where a teacher refused to allow a child's parents to sit in on the sex ed video. The parent wanted to see what they're showing their child, and the teacher refused to allow the parents to sit in on that.
Well, the teacher needs to be fired.
Yeah, at least.
At least, right. Say, look, this is my child. I'm sitting in the class. Now, what do you want to do about it? Okay. Let's see, another article here about the Oort cloud.
Which is mentioned in your seminar as well.
Right.
Yeah. The award, multi-award-winning seminar.
Oh, yeah. Award-winning seminar.
Pretty blue.
Creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. About 1.3 million now those videos have gone out. Plus, who knows how many copies have been made. Probably 10 times that amount. Okay. May 19, 2004, Dayton Daily News. There was a large front-page article about the comet NEAT, N-E-A-T, that was visible to the naked eye through early June. In the story, they were told, matter-of-factly, that comets originate from the Oort cloud, a debris field surrounding the solar system. Yet there's no mention that this cloud has never been observed. Newspaper readers everywhere would be left thinking the Oort cloud is an established fact, and it's not. There is no Oort cloud. The whole thing is imagination. The fact is, comets are flying around through space, and they're constantly breaking apart. And they have a life expectancy of around 10,000 years, according to the astronomer Littleton, who said about 10,000 years is the max you can get on a comet. I mentioned this in a seminar years ago, that the very existence of comets is an indication that our solar system is less than 10,000 years old, because they would have all been burned up by now, you know, disintegrated. And Dave Mattson has one of the anti-Hovind websites, of which there are now over 1,000. He said, well, sure, comets are burning out, but they're being replaced by new ones. They're coming in from the Oort cloud. And he said this Dutch astronomer named Jan Oort in the 1950s proposed, that means he hoped, he prayed, he wished, you know, that there was a shell of comets out there. Even Carl Pagan says there's no evidence, zero evidence, for this Oort cloud, and it's based on a mathematical mistake. There is no Oort cloud, but they're still teaching this, you know. And, of course, the average Joe Blow American looks at it and says, oh, wow, there must be something out there making a new comet. And here's great evidence for a young universe that a lot of people are not even going to consider because they've already got this placebo keeping them happy, you know, answering the question. It's a non-answer to say comets are coming from the Oort cloud. There is no Oort cloud. And they're saying it's 50,000 astronomical units away. Well, think about it. Earth to the sun is one astronomical unit.
93 million miles.
That's one astronomical unit. Earth to Pluto is 39.44 astronomical units. And it's really tough to see Pluto without an extremely good telescope. And Pluto wasn't even discovered until 1930, okay? So how on earth are you going to see a comet, you know, about a bazillionth of the size of Pluto at 50,000 astronomical units? You just... They're dreaming.
I just calculated it out. It's 460. Never mind. I'm not going to say that number. It's a big number.
Big number. Real big number. Okay. So here they are. Of course, they're putting it long. They did the same thing, though, with the origin of life. How did life get started? Oh, it happened long ago and far away where nobody can test it. Okay. Well, how did fossils, or why did animals learn to reproduce themselves? Oh, that happened long ago and far away where nobody can test it, you know. Why don't single-celled organisms today, you know, switch and change into, you know, sexual reproduction? They don't do it. Only takes place in the imagination long ago and far away. And this Oort cloud, you know, far away, you know, there's these comets out there. You can't see it, you can't test it, but you better believe me. This guy Manson on his website said, I have to prove the Oort cloud doesn't exist.
And he said, like, sorry, boys, but if you want to use the Oort cloud, it's up to you to prove that it does not exist.
Well, how do you prove the non-existence of something? I mean, just because they can't find Osama bin Laden, does that mean he doesn't exist?
That'd be like me, you know, walking up to the President of the United States and saying, hey, you know, W, your pants are held up by my magic gnome's you know, super string. And if you don't think it is, then you have to prove that I don't have a magic gnome who has super string. That's just ridiculous.
It is. It's ridiculous. Okay. What's this question from Sniper Fire, Jonathan, here?
I have no idea. I'm not keeping these. Just passing them on.
You're just passing them on. Let's see.
I'm trying to keep my screen clear here, but yours is going to get cluttered pretty fast.
Okay. Let's see. Sniper Fire, 3063. I believe the Bible 100%, but since God doesn't want us to praise any other false gods or anything, don't you think his ego is a little big? Ooh, I think that question would assume that we need to be monitoring God and, you know, keeping track of his ego. That's a problem for him to handle, okay? My job is to take what is and to deal with it, and the fact is he's the creator, and the fact is he loves us. Now, that ought to show something about his ego is not too big. I mean, he came down to earth and died on the cross to save us. I mean, to me, that's the opposite of a big ego.
Yeah.
Big ego would say, oh, okay, Adam, you blew it. I'm going to wipe you out and start over. Oh, next group, you blew it. Here, I'll wipe you out and start over. You know, no mercy.
I don't know. Big ego would probably like, I'm not even going to create anybody.
Yeah, I'll just keep it all to myself.
Yeah. I mean, he gave us the prize of his creation, you know, this whole earth.
So as far as, first place, he claims that he is perfect and righteous and holy and in him is no darkness. I mean, he makes a lot of claims about himself that I just have to take by faith. I've never met him. But if he's perfect, then he doesn't have too big of an ego. If anything is wrong about him, then he's not God.
Well, there was a sermon that Andy Stanley did, which is one of your son's favorite preachers, and he was talking about how God is the center of everything. We should be glorifying God, and yes, we should build God up and put everything to him because that's what we're here for. And he was saying that, you know, if God has a big ego, that's irrelevant. Because whenever a man gets a big ego, we respond in a certain way. You know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But God is not a man. He doesn't think, you know, like a man does. You know, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. And same thing, vice versa. So if God has a big ego, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to respond in the same way that we do. I mean, everything is built to glorify God in the first place. So,
yeah,
you know.
Okay, let me see. The last part of his question. I'm not sure I understand this. Sniper Fire writes and says, among other things, like sugar tastes good, only it makes you fat. Well, it depends on Sniper Fire. There are probably, I don't know how many, 15 different kinds of sugar.
Yeah, you need sugar, actually.
Sucrose, glucose, lactose, maltose, fructose. I'm not sure how many there are, but there's quite a few. Maybe some of you out there can tell me how many sugars there are. But some of them, of course, are very good for you. Some of them are very bad for you. But most are absolutely wonderful, you know. Sugar found in honey is good for you. Bible says, you know, eat the honey. Fruit is good. So, you know, it's some of the synthesized sugars that we have produced or some of the altered sugars that man has produced that are probably bad for you. But when God originally made sugar, it was for our good. It adds certainly wonderful flavor to foods, and fruit has, fruit sugar in it, and milk has milk sugar in it. So I guess I would disagree that sugar tastes good but makes you fat, as if sugar is somehow bad but you can't help it. I don't think I would agree with that. Anyway, second part of the question says, and sex feels good, only it's adultery and considered a sin. Oh, no, sex is not adultery. Sex is wonderful. Man, I've been married 32 years. You know, I've got 3 children, 4 grandchildren. Sex is wonderful. It's a wonderful part of marriage. But read Hebrews 13. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God says, look, you pick one woman or one man, as the case may be, if you're a woman, and stay with that partner faithful for a lifetime. That's God's plan, and it's for your good. I mean, there's no diseases, there's no HIV, there's no sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. There's no emotional strain of, oh, well, I wonder if they're going to find out. I mean, watch 2 minutes of Jerry Springer. Is that his first name? Jerry Springer,
yeah.
I can't stomach that. I mean, I flip channels and hit that once in a while and watch a few minutes. He's got to be just a big pervert, you know. Him and who's the guy, the radio announcer with the real, real long hair? Howard Stern. Howard Stern. Talk about a pervert. Man, they're missing the whole point. So is Hollywood. They're missing it all together. We'll be back after the break, folks, and we'll take the rest of your questions. Hang in there.
As a Christian, does science threaten your faith? Does it contradict the Bible? Not anymore. More and more scientists now believe that the only rational explanation is God. Hi, I'm Lee Strobel, and in my new book, The Case for a Creator, I share what I discovered when I talk with scientists about how the universe and life itself came to be. The good news is that science has discovered God. Read The Case for a Creator or visit caseforacreator.com and get all the data you need to convince family and friends. The evidence is astonishing. The verdict is in. God did it. Case closed.
Why do you have a camera on your hat?
This is the S-Best 2000 Salvation by Electroshock Therapy. This camera sees everything you're doing. This microphone hears everything you're saying. If you do or say anything contrary to the Ten Commandments, it'll give you a shock that'll curl your toes.
So what's the point?
By wearing this hat, you will keep the Ten Commandments, causing your life to be so holy that God will let you into heaven. For $19.95, it ought to sell like hotcakes.
That's not going to work.
I've been working on this for 5 years. Ah! I mean, 2 years. Oh! Okay, 2 weeks. 2 weeks already.
That must hurt.
Yeah, but it kept me from lying, and I remain holy before God. Ah! Well, sort of.
Fred, you're only changing your actions. In order to get into heaven, your heart has to be pure. And the only way to do that is to ask God to forgive you. Why bother with the SBS 2000?
Because I am highly concerned with the salvation. Okay, I'm trying to make a buck here.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to segment 2 of the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hovind, H-O-V-I-N-D, and Jonathan Sampson. Jonathan, just getting You're not probably the most hated man yet, but you're getting there, Jonathan. Don't you have an anti-Jonathan website already?
There was a, well, kind of. I sent out an email to 40 evolutionists that kind of chapped their hides and irritated them just a bit, and they started up a little forum about me and just bashing me all over the place. It was a Panda's Thumb, which is one of the largest evolutionist forums on the web, I think.
Okay.
So it made me feel kind of good.
So you got at least one anti-Jonathan article.
Yeah, it gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling in
it
the
does.
Belly of your gut.
I get that all over. I got over 1,000 now. I feel fuzzy all the time. Okay. Anyway, today's June 28th of 2005, and you're welcome to call in and join our program. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. No dumber idea that I can think of. And we're answering your questions here. You can instant message us at AOL instant message. Why do I still have a hard time saying that, Jonathan? America Online. Go to AOL.com and go to get the, and our screen name is Dr. Dino Live, D-R-D-I-N-O-L-I-V, and we'll be glad to take your question as they're coming in faster than I can get them. Or you can call us and get ahead of the crowd at 850-479-DINO, extension 136, 850-479-3466, extension 136. And in a few minutes, we're going to have Don Boyes call in, and he's the editor or author of the book Evolution, Fact, Fraud, or Faith. He's author of quite a few books, actually. And he was a former Indiana House representative, and member of the House of Representatives. That's a Tang Tungler. And he's going to be calling in. He now travels and speaks on creation as well as does marriage counseling and stuff like that. So Sniper Fire writes in saying, asking among other things about sugar tastes good, makes you fat. Not necessarily so if it's the right kind of sugar. And he says, sex feels good, but it's adultery. No, 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 not the right kind, not in marriage. That's the way God designed it. It's wonderful, perfectly fine. Hebrews 13. Why did he do that? Oh, God gave the rules because he loves you and wants the best, not because he wants to keep you something from you. Man, for heaven's sake. Keep pure till you find the right one, get married, and then have a bunch of kids. Have a wonderful life together. Here we go. It's not oregano, which apparently means marijuana, writes in, straw man. Nobody claims Saturn's rings are billions of years old. In fact, most scientists agree that the rings, there are young rings. Oh, okay. Well, it's not oregano is commenting on the article I read earlier about the fact that Saturn's rings are have sharp edges and therefore cannot be billions of years old. Okay, I agree. Now, does that then create any kind of a problem for those who believe the universe is billions of years old? Or are they just going to agree that at least that part, at least the rings of Saturn, are not billions of years old? Would they also agree that possibly Saturn is not billions of years old? Or possibly, Saturn's moons are not billions of years old? Or Jupiter's moon, you know, which still has high temperature volcanoes, you know, little moon Io. Io has all kinds of volcanic activity, indicating, of course, it's very hot, and yet it's way out there in the solar system where it should have cooled off a long time ago. I think it'd be pretty obvious to anybody with half a brain that the little moon Io is not billions of years old. It could not possibly retain that heat and be losing matter. By the way, as it erupts all this lava out of the volcanoes, it is drawn over because of its intense gravitational field. It's drawn over to Jupiter. It's losing material. It erupts and it goes up in the air and it's sucked over to Jupiter. You just can't keep doing that for billions of years. So I think, what you have to do, Jonathan, here's what we'll do. We'll go through step by step and point out all of the things that are not billions of years old, and the evolutionists will say, okay, you're right, Saturn's rings aren't billions of years old, but the rest of the universe is. We're going to have to demonstrate each individual rock on the planet, and each planet is not billions of years old. And when we're done doing that, they're still going to say, well, the universe is billions of years old. We're never going to win that argument, Jonathan.
Job security, I believe.
Okay.
That's what they call it, yeah.
So the fact is, Saturn's rings do not pose any problem whatsoever for the creationist. They may cause a problem for those who want billions of years to turn their frog into a prince. Okay? It just might cause a little problem, and I wish I could get them to just say, okay, you're right, this may be a problem. At least Jared, when he calls in, I really like his attitude most of the time. He says, well, I'll investigate that. You may have a problem there. We may have a problem there. That's good. And if he keeps an open mind like that, he's going to end up becoming saved, if he's not, and becoming an independent temperamental fundamental Baptist, and he'll come be the third voice on the program someday.
Well, he sent me an email just last weekend, or this weekend actually, apparently solving the log curve algorithm that you had asked him about. So,
oh, he did solve the log curve?
Yeah.
Oh, good, okay.
Completely irrelevant, but it's still pretty neat.
I don't know why that bothered me, because I got to looking at the logarithms. I mean, first of all, why are you sitting looking at logarithms? I don't know. Okay, I taught math and I like the subject, but the log of 100, the log of 200, the log of 300, the log of 400 does not seem to follow a logical curve. It bothered me. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, okay? I don't know. Or maybe it's like Fibonacci sequence, you know? At the early stages, it kind of makes a little funny glip in the scale, and then all of a sudden it levels out at 1.618. Interesting, very interesting. Math is fascinating. And even the order of mathematics demonstrates there must be an order to the universe. The designer of the universe and the designer of mathematics. It was a Newton who spent years studying the order of the mathematics of the ratios of the planets and their distance from the sun. There's a mathematical formula for the planets to be at these certain distances. Just fascinating. Anyway, that's another long story. Okay, here we go. Ghost 32. Hey, I met Jonathan. I got to meet Ghost 32 in Michigan day before yesterday. Had a great meeting up in Flint, Michigan. Spoke at Twin Cities Baptist Church up there. Had a wonderful time, and several guys came, and one of them said, "Oh, hey, I'm Ghost 32. I said, "Oh, yeah, the one that writes in." Another one, two or three of them met me, about your age, Jonathan. Not as handsome, of course, right? They were about your age, but not quite as handsome.
Oh, I have a face for radio that none could.
You definitely have a face for radio.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you're looking good, John. Let's see. Ghost 32 writes, "Dr. Rovin, it was very cool to see you in Flint last Sunday. Thank you so much for coming. People need to hear this stuff. God bless." Well, amen. I appreciate that, and we intend to keep going. Let's see. My next meeting, I am in. This Sunday, I am home, Jonathan. I don't believe it. 4th of July weekend, staying right here. But then the next Sunday, I drive to Georgia, where I speak in Douglasville, Georgia. If I recall, that's an Atlanta suburb. And then, let's see, I'm home for another week. Man, July is my month of getting caught up, going through my piling system on my desk. I've got about 12 piles of stuff I got to get done. Plus, I'm probably going to have to go to Houston. My son-in-law, Paul, is very seriously sick in the Houston hospital there. My daughter, Marlis's husband, it's their wedding that's been played, 15 times now on America's Funniest Home Videos. Didn't get any money for it, but it was my cell phone rang in the middle. If you didn't see that, watch our video number one. It's on there. Okay, here we go. Chicken Dog 88 writes in, "Why do we have toenails?" Oh, interesting. You know, of course, if you ever drop something on your foot, it hurts real bad. And there seems to be a lot of nerve endings in your toes, so you can keep maintain balance and other things just for walking. Toenails provide a nice protection for the top of your toe. And they provide a way to scratch the back of your leg if you don't want to bend over. You can, you know, with your toenail, scratch it. And something to paint. Okay, my granddaughters love painting their toenails. They think it's the coolest thing. So, Chicken Dog says, "I don't use mine, so why do we need them?" Jonathan, is there anything in that book?
There's tons of examples, analogous objects like this. Chicken Dog says that he doesn't use his, and that's probably because he doesn't directly use them consciously. Like you're saying, they're a protection for objects falling on your toes, different things like that. Secondly, you know, does he use his eyebrows? You know, they still have a function. They keep sweat from getting inside your eyes. There's a lot of features that are nice but not absolutely necessary for survival. And it's kind of like the Cadillacs that have the little windshield wipers on the headlights. Yeah, that's kind of nice. But do you really need those?
Yeah, we are the luxury model.
Yeah. I mean, there are functions for the toenails, like we just said, that serve as just one function, at least, is protection on nerve endings and things like that. So
sure.
Body hair, even as minute as it is, still has a function.
Well, look how many things there are on a Cadillac that are just not really necessary, like dual air control, so the passenger can be a different temperature than the driver. I mean, come on. You know, you're sitting 15 inches away.
Well, if it doesn't have a function, you know, if that's the case, then what about the whole use it and lose it, or use it or lose it mentality? If they don't have a function, why are they still here?
I would still like some evolutionist out there to explain to me why humans would have a brain that is not 100% used. I mean, Einstein said he thought we used 10% of our brain. I've often said, man, I had students that used much less than that when I taught. I mean, way less than 10%. How could a brain develop beyond its use? Have you ever had him try to answer that one for you?
I've read a few articles. I don't know if I'm 100% convinced that we only use 10%, but it's interesting.
Well, the amount of stuff the human brain is capable of absorbing, I don't know anybody that's ever maxed it out. Like the guy we had here last week, he's got those three languages and parts of six others. We'll be back after the break, folks, and Dr. Boyes will be calling in. Stay with us.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror. It paralyzes needed effort to convert retreat into advance. This nation is asking for action, and action now.
Not many people who know what Franklin Delano Roosevelt was really about respected his administration, but you have to give him credit for really laying it on the line back then in the 30s in a way that applies today. Nothing to fear but fear itself. What's this about terror? If you want this kind of information to get deeper into American society, support Truth Radio. Our address is P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. Tune with www.truthradio.com. You may at times find us elsewhere, but always www.truthradio.com. That's where we live. We visit other places, but this is where we always are. Stay tuned. David Gibbs and his son gained some degree of prominence recently in the Terry Schiavo case, and they're good lawyers. These people are very well-intentioned. They do a lot of good work. They send out a news release, a news letter. I got that letter. In it, David C. Gibbs, Jr. had this to say, and I want to comment on what he said. Our founders would wince at the idea that the Constitution they wrote is somehow living and thus open to interpretation based on the shifting sands of societal change. Wrong, Attorney Gibbs. Wrong. They would not wince. They knew when they wrote those words that unless they protected those words would change. And that's the problem with our nation today. We need to set those words in concrete and do away with the practice of looking to precedents as some being authoritative.
All right, folks, welcome back to segment number three or four, whatever it is, of the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson talking to you live this June the 28th of 2005. Can't believe it. The year is half over. We made it, Jonathan. Halfway through. If you want to be on the program, you can call 850-479-3466, and Dr. Boyes should be calling in any second. And we'll put him on the program. He wrote the book Evolution, Fact, Faith, Fact, Fraud, or Faith, and it is fraud, and it is faith. It is not fact, I can tell you right now. And you should really enjoy that if you didn't have a conflict in his schedule. Okay, meanwhile, we're taking questions that instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And we'll be glad to take your questions there. Let me get back to the list. I've got the whole pile here in front of me. Let's see, right there. Okay. So why do we have toenails? To protect the top of your toes, among other things, plus more sensitivity as you walk. And if you stub your toe, it kind of absorbs some of the shock, okay, so it doesn't go back and bang the bone and the nerve and do more intensive damage. It's why do you have bumpers on your car? Why not just let your radiator run into things? You know, well, safer.
We've got a guest. We have a caller.
Oh, we got Dr. Boyes on the phone?
That's right, yeah.
Brother, how have you been?
Brother, just get along great.
Are you still up there in Ringgold, Georgia?
Yes, sir.
They talk funny up there.
Yes, we're still here in the Chattanooga area. We're leaving tomorrow for three-state tour meetings. But we like it out here. We're way out in the country, and we enjoy it.
Amen. Well, Brother Boyes, our program's been going for 2 years. We have listeners from all over the world.
Wonderful.
Including quite a few skeptics and scoffers, which is fine.
Yeah.
And I would like to use our program as a tool to introduce other people to your ministry and to other creation ministries. Tell us a little bit of your background, how you got started in this, and how people can get a hold of you and all that.
All right. Saved in West Virginia as a teenager, called to preach. I became a Youth for Christ evangelist, and then I became a pastor. Moved to Indianapolis to pastor in the early 60s. I then resigned to go back into evangelism. My pastor asked me to start the Christian school in Indianapolis. I did so, and organized it and ran it for 8 years, got involved in politics while I was there, and was elected to the Indiana House of Representatives. Then my wife died in 1987, and I got married again a year and a half or so later and moved to the Chattanooga area. I had four children. They're all scattered across America, and they're all in full-time Christian work, and I have two grandsons in full-time Christian work. My wife and I travel around the country, mainly doing family conferences, child-rearing conferences, some revivals, although, as you probably noticed, many churches have stopped having revival meetings. I appear on the talk shows dealing with homosexuality and death penalty and abortion and various other things. A lot on Islam now. My book on Islam was published a couple of years ago. So we have multifaceted ministry, and we live in Chattanooga. If people want to write, they can write at P.O. Box 944 Ringgold, Georgia 30736. We have an elaborate website at cstnews.com.
Give that one more time slowly. And Jonathan, are we linked to his?
Yes, CST. It stands for Common Sense Today.
CST.
CSTnews.com.
Okay.
And a lot of free stuff on there. In fact, I have one article on childhood vaccinations that I did for my own grandchildren that people can save $5 or $6, get it free. And then articles on slavery and reparation for slavery and evolution and terrorism and Islam, various things. Should teenagers be executed? A lot of different subject matter.
Well, you hit a bunch of topics. Each one would take up a whole hour here.
That's right. Brother, I appreciate your ministry. Every place we go, we hear about you. It's exciting to see what God is doing with you. And I appreciate not only the stand you take, of course, on 68 creationism, but also your responsible militancy. I find that's a missing mark in most fundamental and evangelical churches today. Pastors are so politically correct, and they just... And that's been a hallmark of Bible-believing Christians down through the centuries is responsible militancy. And I appreciate the stand that you take.
Well, good. Thank you, sir. We got some other fundamentalists that do not appreciate that.
That's right. That's right.
That's always been the case. Well, tell me a little bit about Islam. You wrote the book about it.
Yes.
What's the title of your book again?
Islam, America's Trojan Horse. So they can, some bookstores have it. They can get it, and I'll sign every copy. They go to the website, PayPal and all. It's $19, including shipping. And I highly recommend, I've got numerous recommendations from college presidents and college professors and average Joes. And one guy in Canada said it's the greatest book I've ever read. That's a slight exaggeration, I'm sure. But I deal with the various facets of Islam. I interviewed Muslim clerics across America, and what some of them told me you will not believe. We have terrorists in our midst. Now, every Muslim is not a terrorist. We know that.
Right.
But I'll tell you this. If they're what I call Quranic Muslims, they are. It is not true what our president and others are saying, that a peaceful religion has been hijacked. If they believe the Quran, if they're genuine Muslims, they do believe in terror. And I also have a chapter on black Muslims that almost nobody is dealing with and how they relate to what we call traditional Muslims. And, of course, I have a couple chapters on terrorism. And I believe that we're going to have to live with terrorism from now on. I do not believe it's possible to win the war against the tactic. And all of the wars have been, of course, fought against the geographical location and peoples. And I think that in America, the free world, our world will never be the same. And I'm not normally a pessimist, but I see some very difficult days ahead of us.
Yes, sir, I agree. Well, have you had any fallout from this book you wrote about Islam?
Oh, yes. Yes, I speak on it quite often where I go. And of course, I've had some death threats and warnings and all that. But and I thought about, you know, of course, I did eliminate my picture. Most people have a picture of their books. And but, hey, with the Internet, people can get a map directly to my house.
Sure.
And so, you know, I've taught all my life that sovereign God's in control anyway. And I'm not stupid. I take precautions when I go places. I don't let anybody know what motel I'm staying in, things like that. But, you know, my life's in God's hands. I sound real noble, but it is.
Amen. Are you one of those right-wing radicals that believes people should be allowed to be armed?
You know, it's interesting, Brother Ken. I had an article, you know, I write various articles, and they go across the Internet, go to newspapers and all. And, in fact, one about a month ago went to, and they all go to over 11,000 media outlets, all the TV stations, radio stations, all the newspapers in America. And mine was the number one news release in America about a month ago, and it was, I believe the title was, My Answer to School Shootings is More Guns. And I take the position that every school should have a two or three public school teachers who are packing, who can use their guns and are willing to use it. I'll tell you this, if I had children or grandchildren in the school, I would feel very much more secure if I knew that a couple of the teachers had guns and were capable and were willing to use them. At least maybe only one or two kids would get killed, not 12 or 15.
Right, and the right one or two would get killed, the ones that need to be.
That's exactly right, yes. That's exactly right.
Not the poor innocent kids that went there to learn their English.
That's right. No, I believe, I thoroughly believe in that guns, and not just for, I believe that we have the right, constitutional right, to have the guns, whether we need it for protection or for target shooting or whatever, or militia, whatever, you don't need those arguments. We have a constitutional right to have the guns, and... I think it's going to be a sorry day whenever it is illegal to have a gun.
Well, and it's coming. I mean, they'll do it just like they did in Australia and other countries.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's the plan. Karl Marx's plan, you know, you got to disarm everybody.
Sure.
Always been the communist plan. You can
right.
Go to any country where they've had gun control, and then within the next 10 years, there's a big genocide where thousands or tens of thousands or sometimes millions get killed.
You know, these dumb liberals, they don't know what, they can't read, they don't know history. And they think that we're stupid, that we don't know history. You're exactly right. And it's interesting that the American people keep buying the liberals' gold brick. And, you know, we need to realize that I've wrote an article, I believe that liberals have done more harm to this nation than the Communist Party. We know what the Communist Party has done, but liberals are not perceived as being dangerous, and they've changed the complexion of this nation.
Absolutely. What's your opinion of Hillary Clinton?
Hillary who?
Hillary Clinton.
You know, can you believe that Billy Graham said that he thinks that Clinton ought to become an evangelist and let Hillary run the nation? That was an amazing statement.
Billy Graham said that?
Well, yes, he said it last Saturday night in front of 60,000 people.
Wow.
He said that Bill Clinton, a longtime friend, he said that he ought to become an evangelist and travel the country and let Hillary run the country. And
wow.
I wouldn't even permit him to speak before the crowd, let alone make such an endorsement like that.
What happened? Well, that's another long story, Billy Graham. Let's stick with evolution and creation. So on the back of your book, Evolution, Fact, Fraud, or Faith, which we sell and really enjoy, you make some of the very sweet comments here. Let me see. I am asking and expecting some evolutionists to display objectivity as they read this book, but when it comes to evolution, objectivity is as scarce as white dinosaurs in Kentucky. Other scientists are asinine, arrogant, and audacious as they con a gullible public into assuming that all thinking people accept the humbuggery of evolution as a fact. Pathetic, pompous evolutionists sit in darkness, speculating, questioning, theorizing, and guessing about the origin of origins, while all of them are hummingbirds, butterflies, all about them are hummingbirds, butterflies, roses, sunsets, rainbows, and man, all stamped, made by God.
Yeah.
I've always liked your don't pull any punches attitude here, brother. And
well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, of course, Dr. Gish gave me a great forward and recommendation, and that helped a lot. And but I forgot, I really appreciate you. You sell more of my books than any bookstores do.
Oh, really?
And yes, you sure do. And,
well,
and,
good.
And, you know, that's a big help to our ministry. And also, of course, our work text. We have that book has been rewritten for work text and using homeschools and Christian schools and church groups and so forth.
Wonderful.
But you as I said, it sounds like a mutual admiration society, but I have great respect for you and the position you've taken and some of the hits that you've taken. And I trust that God gives you many, many, many more years of fruitful work.
Amen. We've got a few folks out there that don't like me, and definitely got the Alphabet Gang out there after me. But how many books have you written, brother?
13.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, one on humor and, you know, a couple on political matters. And
I just can't get time to write a book. What's my problem?
Well, you're gone all the time in meetings. I use the time when, and, you know, late at night, and so I do a lot of research. And of course, being an evangelist, I don't have the pressure of having three or four new sermons every week, so I use research at least 12 hours every day. And I think one of the biggest problems that fundamentalists and evangelicals have down through the years is that we've not written enough, and not been militant enough, not been combative enough. I don't mean irresponsible, but that's why I believe it's wise to go on. I appreciate you going and doing the debate. I do the talk shows, and, you know, Jerry. I won't do Jerry Springer anymore, but I've been with him three times, and Sally Raphael, and CNN, and Crossfire, and a bunch of others, and I enjoy it. And the fact is, liberals are wrong, and we don't have to take a back seat to them. And just because of a Bible-believing fundamentalist, I haven't lost my First Amendment rights. I'm not trying to cram anything down anybody's throat, but when you put our case, the biblical case for evolution or whatever, and you put it out there in the marketplace of ideas, we can win.
Well, we're right.
That's exactly right. Sure.
Yep.
That's right.
Well, I tell everybody, if you keep studying, you know, the truth long enough, eventually, when you learn all the truth, you'll be an independent Baptist.
That's exactly right.
Or some don't believe that. Amen. All right, brother, tell us again how to get a hold of you if you want. If somebody wants to have you come speak at your church,
right.
Or
they can. My website is cstnews.com. They can purchase any of the books there. Or they can write me at P.O. Box 944, Ringgold, Georgia 30736. And the evolution book is 19, including tax, including shipping, rather.
All right.
And they can, you know, they can contact me at from the website if they're interested in conferences or meetings.
Sounds great. Well, brother, you got to be getting close to 50 by now, aren't you?
My son is close to 50.
Oh, okay. And you're still going strong.
Yeah. Listen, I have a 20-year plan. I've got a meeting booked when I'm 100 years old.
Awesome.
Yes, I have a 20-year plan right ahead of me, and life is exciting now as it was when I was 35. I mean that.
Amen. Well, brother, when are you going to come visit Pensacola again?
I wanted to be there at your conference, and you had a little water problem. I can't believe you're a wimp. You canceled your meeting and caused a little water?
Well, it was wind, too. Wind and water. Yeah, a little hurricane.
Yeah, I wanted to be there for that, but it's been a while since I've been there. I'll let you know, and we'll try to get together for dinner or something.
Hey, anytime. You're welcome. Hey, thanks for calling, brother. We appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. That was Dr. Don Boyes, B-O-Y-S, Dr. Don Boyes from Ringgold, Georgia. Ring, like you wear on your finger. Gold, like you hope your ring's made out of. Ringgold, Georgia. And you can get hold of Dr. Don Boyes or get his book from his website, CST, Common Sense for Today, CSTnews.com, or our website, drdino.com. We sell the same book. And I think we actually sell it 50 cents cheaper, Jonathan. 14. Oh, okay. Yeah, we could $5 cheaper.
Yep, 14 bucks.
Sorry about that, Don. We got you beat. But it's your own book, and maybe that's why we sell a lot of them. You know, I've been checking our website prices of books compared to just about, in fact, I think every other creationist group website out there, We're the cheapest. We're trying to win a war, you know. I understand you got to build a castle a little bit, but okay. All right, back to the instant messages here. Dr. Dino Live, you can contact us, DrDinoLive, and we will take your questions. Or call 850-479-DINO. The phone is now open. Okay, here's another one from It's Not Oregano, which is apparently marijuana. You say that the journalists leave information out, yet I never hear you mention the Kuiper Belt. Why is that? Jonathan, do you have stuff on that one?
The Kuiper Belt?
C-U-I-P-E-R. Am I pronouncing that wrong? Kuiper?
It's mentioned in a lot of creationist astronomy books, for instance, Universe by Design by Dr. Danny Faulkner, who you actually flew down following the Hugh Ross debate, which, incidentally enough, we listened to the first 5 segments of it on the air yesterday. People really enjoyed that. That guy is, he looked like he was in his chair, but boy, was he on the edge. I mean, he was way out there on some of these things. They can also check out, there's another book called Astronomy and Design that Creation Research Institute, the Creation Research Society puts out. That's creationresearch.org. And they all have a lot of great information on that. They might also want to check out icr.org and type in Kuiper Belt.
And what's the bottom line on this? Like the Oort cloud?
They'd have to check that out to get, you know, more.
Okay. Basically, it's another imagination story of, well, hey, we know we have comets, we know they don't last long, but we don't have a problem because they might be coming from someplace else. This, even if they're coming from someplace else, this does not explain, you know, how did they get there, okay? This only postpones or delays the problem. It doesn't solve the problem at all. The fact is, you got a real serious problem with everything breaking down, burning out, falling apart, and you're not giving an answer to the origin. The ultimate origin. Where did it come from? So, Kuiper. All these years, I've been saying it wrong. The Kuiper Belt. K-U-I-P-E-R. Check out ICR.org. I know they have a couple articles there, as well as AnswersInGenesis.org has a couple articles on that.
You know, Dr. Don Boyce, he's talking about common sense for today, and I'm sitting here talking with some of these evolutionists on the Internet. You've got to hear some of the weird stuff they say. I guess after the break, I can say a couple things that I've heard so far.
All right. We'll be back, folks. Get your questions in to Dr. Dino. Bye.
After you become acquainted with Truth Radio, it becomes clear to you that part of what Truth Radio is all about is that we share with each other. And there's a man in Minnesota who has done just that repeatedly. And one of his gifts to Truth Radio is a DVD entitled Hijacking America. Now, this is something that, yes, it did originate on satellite TV, but I doubt very much if you saw it. This is something about the Bush administration and about the government under which we now live that you need to see and you need to share with your friends, and I'll be glad to send you a copy of this DVD. I'm all set with a brand new DVD burner that works great, and I'm anxious to use it, and I want to send you a copy of Hijacking America. Ask for it when you write Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. That's P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444.
Noah's Flood. Now, was it a global one? Answers with Ken Ham, one of the writers for Creation Magazine. Well, Ken, a well-known progressive creationist is saying that the Bible teaches that Noah's Flood was only a local event. But what does the Bible really teach?
You know, sometimes I wonder whether these people are reading the same Bible I have. The language of Genesis chapter 6 through 9 makes it so obvious that the event of the flood was a global catastrophe. The Bible teaches that the flood waters covered the high mountains for about 9 months. Now, how could water stand above the mountains in a local area for 9 months and not spill anywhere? You know, if you read Genesis carefully, you find that there are at least 30 times in which the language is used that makes it so obvious the flood affected the entire globe. I mean, you read phrases like all flesh, every living thing, all the high hills under the whole of heaven, and so it goes on. Not only this, but 3 times God promises that he will never again send a flood like this. In fact, he established the Rainbow Covenant as a promise he'd never repeat this sort of flood. Of course, there's been many local floods since this time. Either God broke his promise, or he wasn't referring to a local event, but a global flood. Genesis is clear. It covered the entire globe.
some Christians attempt to compromise with evolutionary geology and say that the flood of Noah was just a local one. Ken's free booklets, found on our website, will help you defend the Bible and to refute compromise. Log on to AnswersRadio.com.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson live this June the 28th of 2005. And we're here answering your questions, demonstrating that the Earth is exactly like God said it is, about 6,000 years old, was created in 6 days, God made the world, the Bible is literally true, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. They have to have help to be that dumb. There's no way a person could do that on their own.
It takes years of education, indoctrination.
A long time to be that dumb. You'd have to go to college for years.
Well, I was just telling you in the break some of the crazy things that I'm getting here. I'm not going to say who said this on the Internet, but because I think it would probably embarrass them a little bit. But we were talking about, you know, the toenails, and they said, well, why didn't God give, you know, tigers toenails made of something stronger than, you know, keratin or whatever? And I said, like steel? And they said, of course, why didn't God give tigers steel toenails? That'd be so much better than what they have now. And I said, well, then you introduce a few more problems. You have to worry about your toenails rusting up and infecting your bloodstream. You have to worry about them running down. You know, they don't rebuild themselves like fingernails today. You got to worry about all these types of things. And then he said, well, certainly God can, you know, continue to do miracles and fix all these things up. And I said, these evolutionists, they wish to invoke more miracles than creationists do.
Well, they do.
You know, why would God sit there and repair this object when he can just build something like what we have now, which is self-maintaining and self-repairable?
Why doesn't General Motors make car tires out of solid steel like train wheels? Because they would wear forever.
You could sit all day. You know, why doesn't man have a retractable skull, a retractable head that goes down inside our body like a turtle? I mean, certainly an intelligent designer would give us one of those, and that would cut down on automobile concussions. We see a tree coming. Oh, put your head inside your belly. You know, you could live a lot longer. This is just ridiculous. I said, you know, that would be asking, why didn't God give tigers candy cane-flavored eyelashes? Because certainly they would like to lick their eyelashes and their fur, and it would keep them cleaner. And he said, well, obviously, they like the taste of their fur because they lick it a lot.
That's proof. They should have made up. God blew it, man. He should have made them out of candy cane.
That's ridiculous, you know? That's like saying, obviously, people like getting shots because we get them a lot. Or obviously people like opening their eyes because we do it. You know, we like blinking because we do that. We do that probably more than anything else. We blink.
Well, I don't remember if it's Proverbs 7:14 or Proverbs 14:7. One of those. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge.
This is one of the common skeptics here on the program, too.
Okay, well, then I think that proverb applies, okay? All right, let's go on to the next one here. Let's see. It's not oregano. All right, I did that one. Let's see. Jake Mabob. Now, there's a name. Jake Mabob. Why do you suppose God placed so many bodies, such as stars, comets, asteroids, and planets, in space to begin with? Were they just for us to explore and disprove the Big Bang? It's interesting to think about considering we may never achieve the technology to view everything in the universe. I have a theory on that. I don't know that I've ever shared this with anybody, Jonathan, but let me just give you just a wild idea, okay? There are 8 other planets around our sun, right? Nothing on them that we know of, no life at all. People have often asked the question, if God created man to live forever, and he told man to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, you know, i.e. have a bunch of kids, wouldn't that at some point overpopulate the world? And the answer is, obviously, intuitively, you would say, well, yes, at some point, it may take a long time, especially if you have a perfect planet and nobody's dying and everybody's living forever and everybody's having lots of kids. At some point, you're going to reach maximum carrying capacity. Now, when you consider today, the Earth is only 3% habitable and the food production capacity of the planet is nothing like it was in the Garden of Eden. So if you assume an 80% habitability, you know, say 20% for oceans or land or water or something, and you assume a, say, tenfold fruiting capacity, you could have a population of several hundreds of billions, possibly even a trillion people on the planet without a problem. And when you consider the whole planet appears to be one giant, super efficient recycling machine, I mean, everything is used. You got something to take care of everything. You got dung beetles and, you know, trees to change the carbon dioxide into oxygen and animals to change the oxygen to CO2. It seems to be 100% efficient recycling machine, this planet. But at some point, you would reach, you'd fill it up. So maybe God made all the rest of those stars for the people to say, oh, okay, now let's take a group and let's go populate this planet, and then this planet, and this planet. Nobody knows where the number of stars, where it stops, you know. Last estimate in 2003 was that there are 70 sextillion stars, which works out to 11 trillion per person. So I don't know. So to answer your question, why do you suppose God placed so many bodies, stars, comets, asteroids, and planets in space? Possibly it was for future colonization. If man had not blown it, then we would at some point reach this population crisis, and then there would be a matter of, okay, now we're moving on here. So, plus if God gave, you know, Adam and Eve super brains, super high IQs, you know, able to use it all. I mean, Adam could walk, talk, name all the animals, and get married first day. Came pre-programmed straight from the hand of God. I suspect that they would have quickly mastered the technology to get into orbit, get on other planets. Next thing to consider, and to answer your question, we keep limiting ourselves to the speed that a jet or a rocket can take us, okay, which currently maximum velocity we've attained is about 7 miles per second. What if we could travel at the speed of thought?
I still know some people who wouldn't go too fast.
You got it. I know some would drop over, fall down, and trip all over themselves, right?
Fall out of their chair and stay there a while.
Correct. But suppose there are other technologies. See, we keep worried about jet propulsion or rocket propulsion. What if there's electrogravitic propulsion, like Stan Deo says there is in his book, The Cosmic Conspiracy? I mentioned in a seminar once, somebody brought up during Q&A, said, Brother Hovind, what do you think about UFOs? And so I went off on a five-minute, you know, diatribe answer about UFOs, just my opinion. I said, well, I have read quite a bit on the topic, and it could be that there is a form of propulsion that is not jet propulsion or rocket propulsion or, you know, piston, gasoline, turbine, engine-driven propulsion. What if there was electrogravitic propulsion? And afterwards, some guy came up to me. He said, Mr. Hovind, how do you know about electrogravitic propulsion? He said, that is top secret. I said, I didn't know it was top secret. I read a book about it. I'm sorry. So what if there are totally other things we haven't even thought of that they would have known? And, of course, that knowledge has now been lost and gone to the grave when they died. But I think we're limiting ourselves, you know. Maybe there are such things as anti-gravity or, you know, something like the people describe UFOs as going from 0 to 5,000 in you know, microsecond, and then from 5,000 back to zero, and making right turns that are, you know, that would kill everybody inside a regular craft. But with electrogravitic propulsion, then you have everything drawn electrically, and every molecule is drawn, so there is absolutely no G-force on the occupant. Just a fascinating concept to think about. I don't know that it's true. I'm just pointing out that Stan Deo covers that in his book called The Cosmic Conspiracy. I don't sell the book, but some bookstores do. You can probably look it up on the Internet. Stan Deo, D-E-Y-O. He lives in Colorado Springs, I believe. Hey, I'm going there this August. I got to make a note for my secretary to see if I can make an appointment to meet him while I'm there. August or September sometime. End of August. Yeah, August 27th and 28th, Colorado Springs. We'll be there, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. So, it's true that at the speed of light, it would take a long time to get places in the universe. It would take 4.5 years just to get to Proxima Centauri or Alpha Centauri. That's true. But why limit ourselves to the speed of light? If you travel at the speed of thought, you know, like how long does it take your prayer to get to heaven and get answers back wherever heaven is? I think we've made a mistake in limiting ourselves and things like that. Okay. If you want to get your questions in, folks, get them right away to Dr. Dino Live. That's our screen name on AOL Instant Message. How do they get that, Jonathan? Download
AOL.com.
AOL.com, and it's free?
Just go there. It's completely free. Well, there might, if they're not careful, they might have something called Weatherbug thrown on their computer, which is a really annoying little application that will drive you absolutely nuts. So it's almost free.
How do you avoid getting the Weatherbug?
Just say you don't want it at the beginning.
Oh, at the beginning, when you go to AOL?
It's kind of defaulted, you know, defaultly selected there. So
it'll ask you, do you want Weatherbug?
Yep.
And you say, no, I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
What does Weatherbug do to your computer?
I don't know if we really need to get into all that. It looks like it's just giving you the temperature and all that stuff of your local area, which you can get that through other programs.
Okay, just check no, I don't want it. Okay.
Yeah.
But you do want to be able to get a hold of us to get your questions answered. You can call in 850-479-DINO, extension 136, since the secretaries are all gone. Or during the day, you can call that number, 850-479-DINO, and order one of our catalogs or any of our wonderful award-winning, calm, cool, and collected materials on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. Okay, here we go. It's not oregano, writes in. You say that there are certain objects that must be young. Fair enough. Even I am not billions of years old. Okay, that's probably true. Okay, but how do you explain the existence of radionuclides that have large half-lives? I believe you mean nucleotides. Radionuclides? I don't know that that's the correct word, but anyway, that have large half-lives. Even if the date is completely inaccurate, why are these isotopes present at all, and why are there no isotopes present that would indicate a minimum age of 6,000 years? Okay, let's suppose you're going to take uranium, which has a half, uranium-238, which has a half-life of, I don't have it in front of me, 713 million years, I think. Okay, don't quote me on that, because there's uranium-238 and uranium-235, and they have different half-lives. But anyway, you got the point. Okay, the point is there are some radioactive isotopes with huge half-lives. Because this element decays and turns into something else. Or let's take potassium, which decays to argon in 1.3 billion years. That is considered the half-life. Several things you ought to obviously consider about this. Let's say potassium has a half-life of 1.3 billion years. So the argument would be, hey, why do we have potassium and why do we have argon with this incredible half-life? That proves, you know, the Earth is more than 6,000 years old. Oh, absolutely no. Not at all. Several things, several assumptions are built into all this here. What is the half-life of iron? What about these elements that don't decay at all? They would have an infinite half-life. I mean, they never decay, never. So what about those, you know? The point is, the fact that, and another major point to consider, elements decay over time. Some elements do, okay, potassium to argon, rubidium to strontium, et cetera. Carbon-14 to carbon-12. These are all, capital A-L-L, all examples of decaying, not improving. This is exactly the opposite of what the evolutionist needs. Exactly the opposite. He needs to show how hydrogen can evolve to uranium, not demonstrate that uranium decays, capital D, decays to lead. I mean, this is the opposite of what you need. Guys, think about it, okay? How are we getting these higher elements? So, first place, I would say, what about these elements that have no half-life? You know, the fact that there are some elements with incredibly long half-lives does not demonstrate the universe has been around that long. I could say, well, iron has an infinite half-life. That wouldn't prove anything as far as when it was created. And plus, potassium decays to argon, and both potassium and argon are very useful elements. So it would be normal for the creator to create some of each. Lead is a very useful component in all sorts of things. So it would be normal for the creator to design the lead, some lead already here, and some uranium here, possibly for the, you know, heating of the Earth with the thermonuclear reactor in the core. I don't know. But maybe there was, you know, radiation or nuclear decay in the crust that would produce the heat necessary to keep the planet here. Maybe that's all part of the original plan, you know, a giant nuclear planet flying around with everything perfectly balanced. But it would be logical for the Creator to create some of each already present. Just because you have lead does not prove it started from uranium, okay? You can have lead that started as lead, just like we have iron that started as iron. What did that come from? If that answers your question, explaining the isotopes that have long half-lives wouldn't prove a thing as far as the age of the universe. Not a thing. It's true potassium appears to have a half-life of 1.3 billion years. Obviously, I'd like to meet the guy who counted that, you know, calculated out who watched it for 1.3 billion years to come to this determination.
It's not oregano. It's just written in and said that he's sorry he was wrong about that and he misspoke. And apparently he sent that earlier, and I didn't catch that and pass it on. So I'm sorry for not being up on 30-something Windows.
Okay.
So he said he was wrong there. He shouldn't have sent that.
Well, thank you. Okay, Ghost32 writes back from Flint, Michigan. Dr. Hovind, the other way to not get the weather bug on your computer is to use a Mac. Oh, no. Jonathan, we got one of those Apple guys here. What do you do with them?
You sit them up on a pedestal and you praise them because they're so smart. No, I think Mac is a lot better. Linux, I guess, is the way to go ultimately. You can't get anything. You can't even get a calculator on that, I don't think.
Because every other Linux guy in the world will crash your computer for you.
Or rip you apart. Those guys are the brain babies of the computer world. We've got a couple of them over there behind that bookshelf, Pavel and Joseph.
Some 10-year-old Linux user is going to clean out your system, okay, and cause it to melt down and set your desk on fire. So I have only used a Mac about 3 times in my life, okay? So I don't know. I know how to use my little desktop, my little laptop here, and I know the Mac people think theirs is the best thing since toasted bread, you know. And, of course, the IBM folks think, no, IBM is better. I think if you look at it from a purely marketing perspective, it's quite obvious IBM won. Okay? PC won the day with their marketing. But, hey, the Mac folks are coming back. What is it now, 15% of the market or something like that?
Mac? I don't know. They're pretty big.
Okay. Anyway, we'll get back about your Mac computer and not getting the weather bug. Sorry about that. Go 32. Come on down, visit Pensacola. We'll be back, folks. Check out our website, drdino.com.
One of the greatest helpers for Truth Radio in the past has been those of you who have signed up for Lifeline telephone service, long-distance service, local service, internet service, and now the Lifeline company, Lifeline Communications, is offering service through T-Mobile. If you have a cell phone or if you would like to have a cell phone service that really works and has really modern, neat equipment and a great approach to this whole business of cell phone, and you want to help Truth Radio at the same time, then may I recommend that you call 800, that's 800-311-2418. That's 800-311-2418. And tell them that you want to sign up for T-Mobile through Lifeline. Phone 1-800-311-2418. Your participation with Lifeline will help Truth Radio.
Listen to this bit of history. I heard him speak it.
I, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help me God.
Such passion, such words of meaning, and yet such futility. Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew very well from his law training that when he pledged to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States, that he was pledging to defend and protect a mishmash of changing concepts. Changed like wind blows sand. The Constitution needs to be upheld in its original meaning of its original words. Spread the word.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. We started at 4:30 Central Time. And you're welcome to call in and be on the program. We're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. Can't think of any dumber idea than to believe you came from a rock and the rock came from nothing, or any more dangerous idea than to think you came from a rock and therefore have no moral standard, no accountability to a creator. And if you can get by with it, get by with it. And might makes right and struggle for life and tooth and claw. That's a dangerous philosophy that leads directly to Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, and a host of evil things that have happened on this planet in the last few hundred years. So you can call in and be on the program this June 28th of 2005, 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. You go to extension 136, take you straight to the radio program here. And we'll be glad to take your questions or comments. Or instant messages, AOL instant message, Dr. Dino Live. And Jonathan mentioned you might get the weather bug on your computer. And Ghost32 writes in and says you don't get the weather bug if you use a Mac. What does that mean, Jonathan? It won't accept it? It won't accept bugs or what?
I guess not. It's probably just a Windows-friendly application. It hasn't been friendly. Anyway, I hate to jump in on this again, but that same evolutionist, he's saying that tigers don't use language. He's saying they use primitive body movement to communicate.
Primitive? Define primitive.
Well, I mean, regardless what primitive is, if they're using body movements to communicate, but they don't use language, I mean, where does American Sign Language fall in there? It wouldn't that be kind of body movements to communicate? Or, I mean, even a bee's dance.
Right.
I mean, that's really small, but yet they use that to communicate where food is.
Think about it. Have you ever seen the bee's dance, Jonathan?
I've seen a small video clip of it, yeah.
Phenomenal. Here they are. They walk around the hive, wiggling around their hind end, and they're walking in a figure eight, pointing in the direction of the food, and the number of times they wiggle determines how far it is to the food. Now, is that metric or English system? I don't know. Okay, it doesn't matter. But somehow the other bees, with their brain about the size of a pinhead, can figure this out and fly right to the food source. I mean, think about it. Wow. Okay. As far as the Mac not getting bugs, I don't know about that. It says, now that I think about it, we're going to have to get you converted into a Mac user one of these days. Okay, well, Ghost 32, I had a hard time. I still have a hard time just with my PC. Okay, I was born too early. I started off, Jonathan, you're not going to believe this, with an abacus. I really did. I know how to run an abacus. And then I remember when I used a slide rule for years. I taught school, taught physics, taught earth science, taught algebra, geometry, and trig. With a circular slide rule. Use a circular slide rule so you don't run off the end. I can add, subtract, multiply, divide with, well, not add and subtract, but multiply and divide, find square roots with a slide rule faster than lightning. And then they come out with computers, and all of a sudden my slide rule is now an antique. Have you ever used a slide rule, Jonathan?
I have no idea what a slide rule is.
See? You were born too late.
I was born beneath a rock somewhere in Illinois.
I'll have to show you my slide rule. You won't believe what you can do with a slide rule. But then a little computer comes out, and I remember the days when the first pocket calculators, all they would do was add, subtract, multiply, and divide. That's it. End of story. And they were like, you know, $80, you know, to buy one. Today you buy one of those for $2, you know, or $1. Okay, anyway, so a Mac user, I don't know. Don't count on that anytime soon. Not that I'm against it. I don't want to learn something else. I'm too busy. Here we go. We got a caller, Jonathan?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I was going to take the next screen question here, but who's we got on the phone?
I forgot what our caller's name was. I'm horrible.
My name's Kyle.
Kyle.
Yeah, I'm located in Wisconsin.
Kyle from Wisconsin. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Kyle.
I just wanted to, I know this doesn't have anything to do with creation science, but I just got done looking at www.one.org, and personally, I'm not usually skeptical about it, but I think that's really scary what they're doing on there. I mean, it's basically a ad to help poverty in Africa and basically all over the world. But what they did is they got a bunch of, you know, American idols like George Clooney and Tom Hanks to show up and pitch the word one over and over again. And, you know, and I haven't watched your college sessions yet, even though I really want to. And I know it touches up about a lot of stuff, you know, and Revelation and, you know, a lot about the end times, basically, you know. And I'm seeing people watching this ad and, you know, pounding their fist on the table saying, yeah, we have got to do this. I mean, if we all join as one, together as one big group, we can accomplish any problem, including poverty, all over the world. When, you know, true wealth comes from God, and they never mention God once. They just keep telling us that, you know, people are powerful enough to group together and, you know, accomplish all these different problems. And
that's the whole theme behind communism.
Yeah, and
communism in a nutshell.
Yeah, and I thought it was scary, even though, you know, and I was thinking, it's like, who could have gotten all these people together? I mean, it's really, really crafty how they've got all these people together, Al Pacino and all these people with an extreme amount of power in media, you know, social media.
I think a lot of those people, you know, I sat down and watched Brad Pitt walk through some of the...
Yeah.
I don't know what that program was. It's probably related to that one thing. I think a lot of it's probably greed on their behalf, because they know if they show up, and I'm not saying this is for everyone, some of them probably really do want to see hunger stricken from the world, but I'm sure there's probably a few out there who really think that if I get on TV and stand next to a starving child and tell everyone how, you know, helpless this kid is and how everyone should help him,
yeah,
and that'll make me popular amongst the Christian crowd and amongst people who actually
sure
do want to eradicate health.
Eradicate hunger.
If they really want to get rid of hunger and help these populations, number one, they need to get rid of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get the bankers out of the equation.
Okay? Yes.
Number two, get the drug people out of the equation. The World Health Organization, shut it down. Close the door, lock it. Set them all, make them get an honest job, okay? Because they're going over there with their vaccine to cure the problem, which is creating the problem.
Yeah.
So,
I agree.
You know, and then help get communism out of the picture. Because communism always promises, oh, hey, we're going to get everybody to be one, you know, equalized man.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't
all
create
for one leader to control, you know.
Exactly right. It doesn't work. Look at any kind of, have you ever been to a communist country?
No, and I don't plan to ever go to a communist country.
I have. It is frightening. I've been in Romania, Moldova, and Ukraine, three former communist countries, and New York, a current communist state. But, communism absolutely destroys people's work ethic. You know, all they
yeah
know how to do is stand in line to get their check that somebody else worked to provide for them.
We've got a really awesome article on the website.
Sounds a lot like Social Security to me.
It is. We've got an awesome article on the website, Dr. Dinah, that you actually wrote. It was showing of government and cows is what it's called.
I didn't write all that. I picked a few things on it. Check that one out, of government and cows. It's hilarious.
I will.
So true. I mean, it hits it right smack on the head.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
Well, good. So, Don, I'm not going to join one.com, that's for sure.
Good.
I heard Tom Hanks give his speech the other day to a graduating class of something. I forget where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about how we can do it, you know, we can change the planet. And look,
yeah,
all
I know how you mentioned in one of your video sessions that Hanks was actually a Christian before he went off to college, got his faith ruined, you know, by, you know, evolutionary teaching in the schools.
Yep, age 16, he gave his testimony how he wanted to serve God with his life.
Yeah, and now he's, you know, telling at the end of ads that, you know, they don't want our money.
You know, you look at, if the world, we could eradicate hunger, and I think it would be a fantastic thing, but it's how you go about doing it. If we obeyed God's laws,
if we
loved our neighbors,
yeah,
if we would repent of our sins, you know, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, I really think that this world would be vastly different, but it would be God changing everything,
mm-hmm,
not man saying we're going to fix the problem.
Yeah, I don't think man can do anything about the problem. I think if we just trust in the Lord,
we create.
He will
the
provide
problem
for us to live. He will provide for us enough to, you know, do our part. I mean, we each have a gift, you know. I mean, some of us know how to speak. Some of us can make art, you know.
I agree. I mean, well, the Chinese have a proverb, you know, give me a fish, I eat for a day. Teach me to fish, I eat for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And all welfare does is give you a fish.
Yeah.
Doesn't solve the problem. You're going to be hungry again tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
Teach them. So you got to change the character. And the gospel, you know, the Bible message, the gospel, is the real solution. You can look at countries that have come from what we call Christianized backgrounds.
America,
England,
yeah,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
They prospered. You look at countries without the Christianized background, like India. You know, over there, somebody's dying on the street right in front of your house, well, he must be having a bad karma. You wouldn't think about helping him, you know. But
yeah.
Christians go in there and start orphanages and start hospitals. And it's the Christianized countries that have done the good for the world.
That God has been slowly taken out of this country.
Right. You've got some graphs in your seminar series that shows as they took God out from schools and as they started cutting off these connections, how the crime, the diseases, the fornication, everything just started gradually building. And, I mean, there's just a point where it's like, goodbye, God, hello, sin. You know,
yep.
And that invites so many problems into the world. And all these people on TV, they think that man can fix the problem when the problem's our fault. We created the problem.
Yeah.
Sure.
No one is perfect.
All
right. We're all, you know, cursed with inherent wickedness, you know. Until we are perfect, we cannot solve problems by ourselves. We have to trust in God.
That's correct.
You know, whatever his nature, he will provide for us. You know, all things work together for those who love God, you know.
That's
so
true.
I think even if we're poor with worldly treasures, he will give us enough to live and to, you know, if we just, you know, strive to do his will. And I think that's what people are missing. And
that's the reason,
you know, all this is happening, despite groups like One.org, and when that the One.org is actually the problem, and people aren't seeing that, and that's what I think is scary. That's my whole point, really, people are accepting this. They're saying, wow, that's a good idea. We should get into this, and they're actually just falling into one gigantic
It's kind
trap.
Of bait and switch, because the people, it is a good idea to help out the poor countries. We should love our neighbor just as ourselves. But as they're attracting people with that bait, they switch around and sell them something completely different. Here's a bigger problem. It's true, if my neighbor is starving, I should be a good Christian and go help him, give him some food.
Yeah.
But should you come over to my house, hold a gun to my head, and say, give me 30% of your food because I want to go feed your neighbor? I mean, that's what socialism is.
Mm-hmm.
We should help the people. And if you don't help, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, give with a cheerful heart, you know. Enjoy to give. Don't give out of obligation or something.
Yeah.
I got to do this because I have to.
Read the article of Government and Cows. It'll really explain it to you.
Mm-hmm. I will.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Right now. Yep.
All right. Appreciate your call.
Yep.
Hey, thanks a lot. All right, folks, if you want to be on the program, you've got a few minutes left. 850-479-DINO. 850-479-3466. Extension 136.
Yeah, we get just literally a few minutes left, so if you're going to dial in, dial with your fast fingers.
Okay. Here's another one from L. Goldfinch. 2. When I was young, I was taught if the sun did not exist, then the earth would just shoot up into space. Is this true? I guess sort of. I mean, the earth is held into a nice circle by the gravity of the sun. That's what keeps us spinning around. So if you were spinning a rock on a string around your head and you cut the string, then, yeah, it would fly off into some direction, okay? So if the sun ceased to exist, somehow magically disappeared, poof, yes, Earth and all the other planets would go flying off in some tangent from their current orbit. So, yes, that's true, but, you know, it's one of those what-if problems, you know? I wouldn't worry about it. Okay, if it is true, how did the Earth stay still when the sun was created after the Earth? Okay, good point. The Bible teaches that God created the earth and then he created the sun. You're very correct in that. How, you know, if somebody can make the earth from nothing and make the sun from nothing, getting them orbiting just right is a minor problem for a person with this capacity, being, I guess, i.e. God, with the capacity to create as far as gravitational pulls and keeping everything balanced just right where the speed is exactly correct to match the gravitational pull. If the Earth were going slower around the sun, it would slowly be sucked in. If the Earth were going faster, it would go slowly drifting out. Now it's got it all perfectly balanced. And he's got everything balanced. He wants to come to heaven with you. See our website, drdino.com. See how to go to heaven. Join us tomorrow, folks. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Somewhere down deep in the resources of Truth Radio, a video has been hiding, and I just discovered it recently. It's entitled The Civil War Debate. This is a public meeting with hundreds of people attending. It was held, I believe, in Georgia. There is one man stating the case for the North and another man stating the case for the South and a moderator. It's anything but boring. If you've studied our history going back to the Civil War at all, there's information in this video that you will consider to be really vital, and it's a really terrific experience to listen to it. I hope you'll order a copy as you write to P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. Your gift of any size will bring you a copy of The Civil War Debate. Write to us soon. Thanks.
Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1798 on this piece of paper, scotch taped here on the wall above my desk. 1798, after one of his own defeats, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "A little patience and we shall see the reign of witches pass over, their spells dissolve, and the people, recovering their true sight, restore their government to its true principles. If the game runs sometimes against us at home, we must have patience till luck turns, and then we shall have an opportunity of winning back the principles we have lost. For this is a game where principles are at stake," said Thomas Jefferson.
And that's the voice of Garrison Keillor, PrairieHome.org. www.